better show. So please listen up. But I wonder who does. iTunes statistics are real clear. But I'm still having fun. A year's gone by and I'm still riding them. I'm still riding them. And you must be.
Welcome to another episode of the TK Jingles Podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. This weekly show features songs from the Tony Kornheiser Radio Show and TKJingles.com. We have a pretty special show today. Gary Braun will be joining me a little bit later for an exclusive chat about the history of the jingle, his time on the show, and then he'll be answering some questions that Little sent in over the past week. We also have got some great new music here. We've got five new songs to open the show from people other than myself. Then after Gary's interview, we'll have a recap of the 31 and 31 summer event, followed by a special segment just for Claire, who last week said that she was sick of the Billy Joel and musical hit parade. So we'll have a segment just on Billy Joel and musicals, just for you, Claire. And then we'll follow that with a preview of what's coming up in 31 and 31 next week, along with a brand new original non-Tony parody that I put together. And then we'll end that with a mailbag. You know, one of the funny things that has happened here is I've been writing so many songs about Tony, and when I try to explain it to family and friends, when Michelle will tell people, hey, Jerry does jingles on the radio, they say, oh, great, so you do like, Cars for Kids radio ads or something? Say, no. Jingle means something very different. It's a song about Tony Kornheiser or one of his friends parodying some music. So it's like Weird Al about a very niche audience that you probably have never heard of. So let's just stop talking about it right now. It's always a difficult concept to explain, but I've been having a lot of fun doing this. I'm thrilled that Gary was able to join me today. He's got some great stuff to tell you about, and I learned a lot, and I think you'll really enjoy the conversation. I also have gotten some feedback here this past week. Gary and I talked about it a little bit, and I don't think that it'll be featuring it today, but, you know, being out front as one of the voices of the Littles here that's featured on the radio every now and then, I get a lot of feedback from folks, and most of it's very positive, but every time I get something negative, it hurts a little bit. And even if it's in jest, I'm always self-conscious that this is a pretty stupid hobby. I mean, let's be honest. It's writing songs about it, a bald orange man. And I really am so grateful that Tony appreciates it and that he continues to play it and that it's still going. But, just trying to explain it to somebody makes it crystal clear that this is just such a bizarre thing that's happened. And I'm so grateful for the chance to do it. But at the same time, I always have that little self-conscious feeling that this is kind of ridiculous. So the word that kills me more than anything is cute or whatever. And I've gotten notes from folks that assume I live in my parents' basement and I have nothing else to do, and that I'm just doing this as my only source of entertainment and income, which would, I suppose that would be a little bit pathetic. But I assure you, I have a happy, healthy life, and my boss, who writes into the show every other week, would attest to that. But, thank you so much for your support. The nice notes that I get more than make up for the negative ones. So thank you so much. And so without any further chatter, we've got a long show today, so I'm going to get right to it. So this opening segment here, we've got some great new songs. Last week, I monopolized Joe Arrow's time by playing my own full-length parody of Happy Christmas. So we're going to play Joe's version here. Happy Summer, show is over. Then we'll follow that with a couple of Pink Floyd tunes, the first by Patrick Moffitt, and then a great one by John Fitzpatrick. Then we will play KJ's Cowliga O'Nigel song. Then Brendan Steenburgen's first contribution, Old Man Tony, and this one actually had me laughing out loud, so I really got a good kick out of this. Every time somebody new comes to the pantheon of jingles, it's always fun. If you haven't heard the Nigel's Rubbish Bin podcast, check it out. It's a great place to hear folks you've never heard of before doing their very first jingle, most likely their one and only jingle. So creative, so different, and it's just a lot of fun. So after those five songs, then we'll have our little chat with Gary. So enjoy some brand new music from some great littles.
And so this is summer, and what will we do? Our mornings are empty without Tony and the crew. And so this is summer, there's airtime to fill. Why not just play jingles? Now that would be a thrill. Very boring summer, we're not having much fun. Thank God we've got Jerry and 31 in 31. Where is Tony? He's out golfing. Where is Nigel? He's with Chris Walken.
To pick up the slack, Tony. and on my bike I do wear white.
He's Nigel, he's a sneaky Englishman, runs a mailbag. He picks our notes, the jingle that's played, even if we get some sway. He's Nigel, yeah. Well, he really runs the whole damn TK show. If not for him, there'd be no jingles, no. Well, now we're in the summer months and Tony's show is dark. I still email just in case, but it's just some dude named Mark. Hey, Nigel, how are you? Ooh. I'm sending songs to a show that's not even on. At least I still got tkjingles.com. What have you done, Nigel? In 1 week I'll be hitched. Oh man, Nigel, my fiance's really pissed. I don't have to wonder why I tempt my fate. It's 'cause Nigel, you played my song one day.
There's an old man called Kornheiser. That's the old man that I'd like to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? People send him all his stuff for free. Old man Tony, that old man Tony, he don't know nothing. But he'll still say something. He just keeps blabbing. He keeps on blabbing along. He gets weary and sick of driving. He's scared of bridges and scared of dying. But old man Tony, he just keeps blabbing along.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag! Gonna read some for all you folks.
It is said that the Paul McCartney song Yesterday is the most covered song in the world. But if we keep it up, the Gary Braun song that you just heard there, Tony's Mailbag, is going to surpass it. TKJingles.com is now over 800 songs on the website, and there have been 1,000 submitted to Nigel, so we're getting damn close. So we're going to now cut to an interview with Gary Braun, already in progress. And I should point out that this is the first interview that I've done, so any mistakes are mine. Gary did a great job here, trying to work out the levels and the coordination of how to do all this stuff. So please forgive the raw amateur quality of this interview if I make any mistakes. They're mine and mine alone. Enjoy the interview. All right, Gary, thank you for joining me today. This is the first of what will hopefully be many interview segments on this podcast, TK Jingles Podcast. And I wanted you to be the first guest that we had here just because everything that's happened for the past year and a half really has resulted from, you know, the song that you put out there 20 years ago and you and Nigel and Tony deciding to open this thing up to the rest of us. So really grateful for the opportunity and glad that you could join me today.
Well, kind of you to have me. Happy to be here. I mean, I would deflect all credit, of course, to our mighty orange leader. But you are right that I was the first to cut a jingle and never could have imagined that, you know, we'd be here all these years later with all these fabulous jingles and mine kicked to the corner.
What was the genesis of that jingle? I know a lot of people have asked me how long it took you to write it, if you did it all by yourself, kind of where that came from.
So the genesis for the jingle was when I was producing Tony's show in, I'm guessing this was the fall of 1992, but it may have been spring of 93 by the time this came around.
All right.
We started a little mailbag segment. I don't remember how it came about or what the idea was. I think actually this time we were taking calls, as we did pretty regularly for those first few years. But we did at the end of the show, we had a mailbag segment, and I just decided one day that I thought the mailbag segment should have a theme. And working in conjunction with Todd Castleberry, who's a name, if you've listened to the show for a while, you've probably heard it, but a long time ago, he was one of the station managers, program directors of the station. I wish it was a better story. We just went into a production studio for about 20 minutes and fished through some of the library music we had, and I found a cut, and I don't know why I remember this, Jerry, but the name of that cut was called Fishing and Whistling, with apostrophes and no G's. But it was appropriate, you know, very Mayberry sounding cut. And we just heard it and decided kind of the cut was right, and spent a couple seconds jotting down some lyrics for it, and probably spent more time trying to make it sound right. I know that's hard to believe, as bad as it sounds, than we did, you know, writing it or looking for the music. I mean, all told, the exercise probably wasn't an hour.
So the only thing that you guys added to that then was the lyrics and the voiceover? That was a stock sound?
Yes, that was just a stock piece of library music. You know, at a radio station, they own all these buyout music libraries. And I actually, it's funny, I have over the years, I've heard that jingle under a piece for a, you know, for a local car ad here or some salad dressing there. I mean, it's a piece of library music that is public domain, and you'll hear it out there sometimes in other things, which always kind of makes me crack up.
Oh, it's like that Wilhelm scream that you hear in every single movie.
Right.
After. All right. So when you guys, so that played for what, 20 years or so? And I know Darius did something. You guys met up with him at the.
So that, I'm pretty sure, and I, you know, again, you got to forgive me for not having a better memory on these things, but I'm pretty sure that played exclusively until I left Tony's show, which was in February of 1997, when I left to start my business. I don't know if you know, I own a film and video production company.
Is there a Twitter handle for that?
So I left in 97, and I'm pretty sure mine was the exclusive jingle. And I think the first cover we got, a couple of years after that, Tony resurfaced on ESPN. And again, forgive me here, I might be off on the timing, but I'm guessing it was, you know, 98, 99. And was invited down to that Monday After the Masters tournament that Hootie and the Blowfish host in Myrtle Beach after the Masters. And Tony was invited down there. And you know what? Maybe it was later than 99, because I think PTI was on the air, and I believe PTI didn't start until the early 2000s, but again, this is, you know, Tony's life, not mine. But
yeah, it sounds about right.
Tony was kind enough to invite me down on that trip, even though I wasn't involved with his show anymore, and I went with he and Todd Castleberry again, and we're just down there to play golf and hang out and meet Hootie and the Blowfish, and we met them, and it turns out those guys were big fans of Tony, and Hootie even would listen to the radio show and knew the jingle, and we were hanging out at the party they host there one night. It was Tony and Darius and his wife and I talking, and somehow we got to the jingle. And I said, you guys should do a cover of that next time you're in session, man. Record one and send it down. Because he was just talking about how funny it was. And I just sort of said, kind of jokingly, and lo and behold, I forget who was producing Tony's show at the time. It may have been Dennis Horgan. I think he was at ESPN at the time. You know, those guys, the next time they were in session, they crank one out. And that was that one. And then I think the Denise Graves one followed.
I'm not sure that I've ever heard that one. How long did that air?
I mean, again, I wasn't working on his show when these were making their premiere. So I'm not qualified, I think, to answer that. But I've only heard that one a few times. I mean, it's operatic. It's impressive. She has an awesome voice. It doesn't quite have the energy of the ones we get from you guys or even the one that Darius and those guys did. So that was the genesis of the Darius one. And then, sometime, again, I've established I'm bad with dates, so you would not know better than I. Maybe it was a year ago that we opened these up.
I think it was February 2013.
Okay, so 3.5 years then, my math skills.
Sounds about right.
We were sitting around one day, either before or after the show, and I'm pretty sure, I'm not trying to be falsely modest, I'm just trying to recall, I'm pretty sure it was my idea that we ask some listeners for jingles, because over the years, in the early 90s, we'd come to understand that there were some pretty talented and intelligent people who listened to our show. And that's one thing that's always, I think, really impressed Tony, and something he's very proud of, is sort of the collective IQ and talent level of the listeners. And I think, I mean, gosh, Jar, I don't even remember what we did before your guys' jingles. I guess we just played mine and Darius's every day, or are there other? I mean,
it was those two, and usually Tony would thank whoever wasn't singing, just as his own stupid joke,
so,
I guess.
So maybe somebody, sent something in. I mean, I hasten to believe it was a completely original thought on my part, but I'm pretty sure it was my suggestion, however it was prompted, that we ask for some jingles, or maybe it was actually to win a contest.
I asked Nigel about it, and he said that he thought it was your idea too, that you and either you were talking to him or Kevin might have been there, and that you brought that up. So I think your memory serves you.
So whatever the case, I mean, I know it was, I threw it out there, and I do remember Nigel and I sort of kicking it around and trying to figure out how to administer it, and
Gary, what did you think was going to happen when you guys did that? I mean, you opened it up. I mean, is where it is today remotely what you thought it was?
No, it's not quite where I thought it would be, candidly. No, I'm kidding.
listen, it would be better, is what you're saying.
There was a listener in particular I remember from the early 90s, a guy by the name of, I can mention his name here, right? Nobody's listening. A guy by the name of T. Chapel Aldridge, and he would call in and do, he would bastardize the lyrics of pop music and play them for us. And he did some stuff for Redskins pregame back then. I mean, he was really talented musician. I mean, in the class of yourself, although he was, he played string instruments, I remember. So, mm-hmm. I knew we would get, let me start by saying, to answer your question, no one possibly could have imagined we would have gotten the quantity and quality that we have gotten. But I didn't think it was going to be a joke. I mean, I knew we had talented musicians in our audience. I mean, I had faith that we'd get some that we thought were pretty good. What I never thought, and what no one could have imagined, was that we'd get so many that were so incredibly excellent. I mean, Jerry, the thing to us that is so funny, and by us, of course, I mean the Jews, is that we laugh about the fact that the best thing on the show has nothing to do with any of the people who are regular on the show. I mean, we are very, very genuinely in awe and in total appreciation of what you guys have done. I was going to say what you, and then try to list names, but it would be unfair.
There's too many
people out. There's too many, and they're incredible. And I mean, even the bad ones are good.
Well, I think that the support that you guys have when those things are aired, and just the constant encouragement, I think motivates folks to send more in. One of the fun things that we're doing this summer is Nigel's Rubbish Bin, which is a special podcast just for the ones that didn't make the air. Nigel let me have some of the songs for the backlog, and there are probably 1,000 jingles in there, and of that, maybe 100 people that we've never even heard on the radio, just individual people. It's incredible.
That really is incredible, and I'm actually glad you bring that up, because I think it's important to let people know how many there are. I mean, you would know better than I, but I would not be surprised to hear there are 1,000 jingles. I mean, that sounds about right to me. We started this, as you said, a year and a half ago, and we do 180 shows a year. So, you know, obviously it's just impossible for us to play them all. It's even impossible for us to hear them all. I do a good job of it because I try when I can to check out your website and hear them from time to time. And you know, my kids dig music, and we're kind of a slightly musical family, although I'm kind of lame musically. But, you know, we like to go there and hear the covers and whatnot. And it's just, it's outstanding. I mean, I wish there was some way we could play them all. From time to time, we've done entire segments of just jingles. And that's something maybe, as the show goes forward, maybe we can try to do more of. I mean, certainly there's enough content there.
Well, I always worry. Yeah, you got to strike a balance there between sports radio, Tony's foibles, and then this stuff. I don't, you know, KJ always would lament to me privately that she thought back in like October 2013, November, that there was going to, after like 30 or 40 shows, make, all right, that's enough of this. Let's move on to something else.
Well, so that's a pretty good read of Tony. I mean, I, you know, typically you would think that's how he would react to something like this. I mean, he doesn't have a very extensive attention span for things that aren't completely engaging him.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, and I mean, I think you, I can't speak for the people who are listening to this podcast, but I think you personally know this. I mean, I've been there when he's told you this. He really, really is genuinely touched by these things and amazed. I mean, part of it is he you understand he has a phenomenal appreciation of music, but he doesn't have tremendous music talent. I have none whatsoever. And that's part of what makes this so kind of meaningful for him, I think, is like he hears these things and he'll turn to me and say, my God, how would someone do this? Or he'll, you know, he'll play, Nothing Comes Immediately to Mind, but I know you've sent in a bunch that you've clearly like multi-tracked.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, he just doesn't even understand technically how something like that can be done and how does he do this and how many people was that? And I'm always like, well, I think that was just Jerry, you know, but he just sang it 5 different times.
Right.
And he really, it really makes him happy. And so I can see when it started thinking like, man, he's, you know, this is going to get old for him quick. But the fact of the matter is you guys are very talented. Your material base is sort of unlimited because he's constantly churning out stuff that you can write about.
Well, yeah, I was making a joke in a podcast a few weeks ago that Tony could basically come in and talk about his laundry and somebody would send in a song about it.
It's so true.
Yeah, it's kind of limitless what you can do with that.
It's true. I mean, he would talk about his laundry in a very entertaining fashion.
Oh, sure, you know, sure.
You talk about drawing the balance. I mean, one thing about the show, and I think it's really one of Tony's the secrets to his success, is while he is a sports show, nominally, as he likes to say, the show obviously airs on a sports station locally in D.C., you know, I don't think he ever aspired, and I don't think he ever wants to be sports radio. I think he thinks of his show less as the sports page and more as the newspaper. So, you know, you're going to get the front page, you're going to get Metro, you're going to get Style, you're going to get sports first and foremost. But you're going to get a little bit of everything, and I think that's part of what keeps him engaged and part of what keeps him so entertaining. He has always said. When I say always, I mean, from when I was back with him in the mid-90s, he used to say, this show is about entertaining people, us. And we are entertained.
The people in the studio.
Yeah, and it's, and I think he's right largely. I mean, I think that's key to successful radio. You know, if the people who are doing it are having fun, that's going to translate to some extent to the audience. And we would all be in the same room sometimes. It's not like there are certain, and I don't know if I've made this comment on air, and I won't talk about which show we're talking about in case I haven't made it on the air, but I know I've made it off the air. There are some like pre and post game show in sports that you'll see, and they don't really work. And I'll always sort of say to those guys, well, it doesn't work for me because those people would never be in the same room together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're sort of forced trying to do this thing. I'm not saying if I wasn't talking to you now, I would be out hanging out with, you know, McManus and Clark, but we do get together. We do genuinely like each other. And most of the time we're not performing. We're just interacting. You know, we're not really cognizant of the microphones being on. I mean, yeah, we all have roles that we play, and I'm not an idiot mathematically, and I'm not bad at geography. I mean, but if you were having a normal conversation with me, I'd behave the same way because I am sort of a goofball. And
yeah, it's your sense of humor.
Sense of humor, yeah.
Who decides? So you mentioned McManus and Tori. Who decides who's on the show each week? How does that get set?
That's predominantly a Nigel and Tony collective decision. There are certain, I mean, when schedules permit, Aldridge and I are sort of a Monday fixture. McManus and I are a Friday fixture. And I kind of have right of first refusal on one of the chairs as my schedule permits. Mm-hmm. So I'm there whenever I can be there. But other than that, as far as who is in when and who gets paired with whom, that's
So are you guys employees of the station, or you just kind of come in as a favor to Tony?
Well, everything is, there's a couple ways to answer that. First of all of us, I'm comfortable in saying this, all of us would come in as a favor to Tony. I mean, I do it first and foremost because it's fun. I don't do it for the money. Frankly, it doesn't pay me enough money to justify the time I spend doing it. But I'm fortunate in that my schedule and my business, which my brother is my partner in, can afford me that flexibility. My deal is a little unique in that it is run, the station ownership, Red Zebra Broadcasting, pays Braun Film and Video for my time as if it's basically a consultancy. So I do not get paid personally directly. The money just sort of goes into my company and, you know, presumably pays for one or one and a half of our people.
Gotcha.
Other people have other arrangements without getting into the specifics of it. Some get paid, some do not. I do not believe that the Post employees, Liz Clark, for instance, comes to mind. I don't believe they're allowed. I don't think the Post would allow them to get paid to do that. So I think Liz does that as a favor to Tony. And, you know, and she enjoys it, and she's certainly not hurt by it. You know, the exposure can't hurt her, but... But yeah, those of us who are paid by Red Zebra, who's the owner of the station, which is owned, for those of you who don't know, by Dan Snyder, who also owns the Washington Redskins.
Do you think that, so just one last topic on the show here. So you've mentioned that you'll be the unofficial or the official unofficial source for all news on the deal here. Do you see that being resolved anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what soon means. In a couple of weeks, I think you're getting close to the point where the station would need to know what its fall schedule is. I do know that as recently as this afternoon, there was still no deal. People are talking. Tony obviously wants to do the show. The station obviously wants him to do the show. But everyone, from Tony all the way on down to me and everyone else on the show. I mean, everyone has other obligations. So, by the way, I think not to scare anyone, but I think one of the things that makes Tony so good is that he doesn't need the job and he doesn't need the money. And I think, you know, if you can think of it in terms of your own gig, what you do or what you do for fun on the side or what your encore career might be. I mean, there's sort of something that jostles loose in your soul when you're doing it just because it's a lot of fun or you love it. But there's no pressure. You don't need it to pay the mortgage or get the kids through school or get food on the table or anything. So that's, as far as show fans are concerned, that's kind of a double-edged sword because, you know, Tony doesn't need it. That doesn't mean he needs to walk. That doesn't mean he would walk away from it. Tony is not he's not a greedy person. I mean, he's not a guy who would hold the station up. But at the same time, he wants to be compensated. And if they're asking for more days, which they may or may not be, I don't think he's the type of guy who would say, oh, yeah, sure, the same old deal is fine, and I'll just give you 20 more days a year. You know, so I hope, this is just my opinion now. I can't speak with any particular knowledge, but I hope it's those sort of small things that are holding up. I fully expect them to work something out and for the show to be on in the fall. And you know what? This is also just my opinion. Well, you know what? I'll hold that piece of my opinion.
All right. Well, everyone, I don't know.
Listening.
I don't know what a lot of us are going to do with ourselves if that doesn't happen.
Let me say, as soon as the deal happens, I will know. And as soon as Tony grants me permission to share it, I will let you guys know. Now, that doesn't mean that I'll be the first to know or the first source, because who knows how these things break or where in the world I might be when that happens. But I'm no less confident than I was a month ago that they'll get something done.
Who's that guy that broke the LeBron news? Chris Sheridan? Why don't you put it up on his website?
Yeah, well, he did a good job with that.
All right, so Tom in Maui sent me a question. He wanted to know if you'd ever thought about doing a podcast of your own, and says that you'd crush it. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Tom in Maui. You know, no, I've never thought about that, and I wouldn't do it. I mean, I have a job. I have a full-time job that I like, and, you know, radio is tough work. I am only good because Tony is great. I mean, I've done radio with other people. I've done radio by myself. I'm not very good at it. I'm good at making Tony laugh, which is a hard thing to do. Not a lot of people can do that. And I think that's why he likes me, but I'm not nearly good enough to have my own podcast. Although I will say this, I've got an uncle who was very into the internet very early. And he's my mom's brother. He's much younger, like 17 years my mom's junior. And he was living with us in the early, I guess, mid-90s, because I had just met Kim, who is now my wife. So this is probably 1995. I was still living at home, producing Tony's show for $14,000 a year at the radio station, living with my mom and dad. And he was, and my wife was actually in radio until we, until Sydney and Spike and Ike came along. My wife co-hosted mornings at Wash FM for a number of years, which is a soft rock station here in DC. And he was telling me then, he was telling us, you know, you should do a radio show on the internet. This is before there was any video streaming. I mean, shoot, AOL had barely even been born. I mean, there was very little. And, you know, I, of course, knew that idea was a total loser and there was no future for this internet thing. So that was the only time, actually, I've ever even remotely thought about it. But no, I have not considered it. But if I did, I would do it from Maui. I can promise you that.
All right. One last question here. So Greg wants to know what's in your musical playlist. What kind of music do you listen to? What's your favorite type of song?
Wow. My tastes are pretty eclectic musically, although I'm kind of lame. I mean, in the radio, and this, I guess, part of getting older. I mean, in the car, I'm pretty much talk radio, news and sports. I like reggae music. I like classic rock. I mean, Jimmy Cliff, The Stones, a couple of my favorites. I'm a big fan of reggae remakes, which is this odd sort of niche where like
UB40?
No, like reggae groups cover classic rock tunes. So like reggae versions of Stone songs. And whatnot. But I'm a t-shirt and flip-flops kind of guy. So, I'm a reggae and classic rock guy. I also have a very soft spot in my heart. And this is why I like you so much. I'm a big Billy Joel and Elton John fan. So, you know, I know that's, again, I told you I was a softy. I mean, I'm a little bit soft rocky. but I don't listen to as much music as I probably should. And I was thinking about that. And I was just on the road for work with my brother, and we were talking about it, and I was saying, with respect to my kids, like, I should have more music on in the house more often. I don't play enough music around here.
Yeah, you but know, my I used to listen to a lot more music for fun, and now this whole jingle thing has kind of warped that whole reality, so that anytime, you know, that, I'm, Anytime I'm in the car listening to something, I'll think, oh, this could be a jingle.
That is what sports radio did to my love of sports. I mean, I started, like most people, in sports radio right out of college, 21, 22. Just this voracious appetite, just crazy passion for sports. And within a year or two, you know, by 93 or 94, I was producing Redskins game days. And Redskins, which was the team of my youth. I mean, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. The Skins were dominant. Game day became like a 16-hour workday. It just sucked all the joy out of it for me, to the point where now, like, people ask me who my team is, and I'm nominally a Redskins fan, but I'm really just like a league fan, a big NFL fan. So be careful, Jerry. Word of caution. Don't want to kill your love of music with your love of music.
Well, one of the things that really keeps me going is that now my 2-year-old daughter, Eva, whenever we're in the car, the music that she requests is whatever jingle I was working on that previous week. So that really adds a lot to
it. That's awesome.
Yeah. She.
I teach her the salute.
We'll hold off on that one for a couple.
Yeah, a little young at 2, maybe.
Yeah, maybe at 4. And then last question, about 20 people asked me this. Is your mother a prostitute?
How did you know? Oh, bless her heart. I thought I was going to get a how much could I bench press.
Marvin Foster wants to know how much he could bench press.
I'm going to take a wild guess, 315 pounds.
Well, thanks a lot, Gary, for taking the time to join me today. And I'll go back and clean this up a little bit so that we both sound smarter than we are. And I will talk to you sometime in the fall, hopefully.
My pleasure. Thanks.
A big thank you to Gary Braun for that wonderful interview. What was intended to be about 10 minutes went on for about 40. So, Gary, thank you so much for joining us today. I really enjoyed that conversation. Now we're going to transition from the long 30-minute segue of chatter to some stupid music. So the 31 and 31 has been going on for the last 3 weeks, and I'd like to just showcase a few of the songs from the past week that I particularly liked. So the first one is the song, it was the wedding song for my wife and I, More. And originally I tried to record this in the style of Harry Connick Jr., which is the version that really means a lot to us, but it was internally long, it wasn't very funny. So I picked up the Bobby Darin version, which I always loved as well. And we're going to hear that. Then my mom was really nice enough to help me with the TK and Jingles Kickstarter when she visited me back in June. We spent an entire night, probably 4 or 5 hours, packing T-shirts and bags and packing USB sticks and all that stuff and sending it out in the mail. And after we were done with that, she helped me record this next jingle about Tori Clark and her parties. And then one of my favorite songs, Honey by Bobby Goldsboro, I converted into a jingle. And I may have mentioned this before, but my dad always loved to listen to really, really sad music growing up. His favorite stuff, we had a jukebox growing up at the basement. All the music I listened to was 50s and 60s music. And a lot of those songs, like Tell Laura I Love Her and Teen Angel and Honey, were all about some tragic, horrific death. And my grandmother would always come in when he was listening to some 45 and say, you're sick listening to this. But we always had so much of this sad, sappy music going on. So Honey, Bobby Goldsboro, always had a special place in my heart. Enjoy these silly jingles from the 31 and 31 segment.
Bored by the pointless stories Tony tells. I'm bored by the dozens of products that he sells. Bored by the previews with that Kelleher guy. Another guest-free episode of PTI. Boring sports talk radio, but you know I kind of miss it though. Birds flying in his kitchen, high class living, low class bitching. The longer that Tony's away, I start to think it might be curtains for the show that stinks.
But Tony said all this before, and Gary Braun is halfway sure they're gonna be on the air once more. It's grown. Hitler stamps, McManus mugs, and pickled figs. Ice cream, chocolates, kind bars, pretzels. Anyone who sees it says, man, what a pig. And the minute Tony went away, vacationing till Labor Day, the weasels came. They ransacked the pile, took the jingle shirts, ate all the fancy free desserts, and staked their claims. And Tony, we listen while you ask us for food, and we mostly laugh with you and all the junk you've accrued.
All right, so that was just a small sampling of the 31 and 31 tunes from this past week, the ones that I happen to enjoy. There are way more songs on tkjingles.com that I think you'll enjoy. If you haven't heard them, go check it out. Leave some feedback. Let me know if you what you like, what you don't like. Preferably what you like. That what you don't like feedback is hard to hear, but whatever you like. So this last segment before the mailbag here, I put aside two special songs just for Claire, who said she wants to hear more Billy Joel and musicals. So, Claire, I heard you. I've got more of it for you. We're going to hear a collaboration I did with Festskerberger, who was one of the very first Ideas Pages guys, to Billy Joel's River of Dreams. So all the lyrics are by him, the idiotic performances by me. And then the musical Man of La Mancha, one of my all-time favorites. I'm going to do a silly song to Dulcinea. And then we're going to hear a preview of next week's 31 and 31, a song by Travis called The Cage. That's one of my all-time favorite songs to play on guitar and sing. And then an original parody song that has nothing to do with Tony Kornheiser. It's called Pepperoni. It's to a Lady Gaga song. And as I write these things, you know, the Tony thing, I understand there's an audience for this. When I write original parodies or original music, I got to scratch my head. Will anybody actually listen to this? And I find some type of peace in the fact that I could look at a Weird Al album and say, all right, a parody of the song Loyal about tinfoil. God, that sounds stupid as hell. All right, a parody is about the song Tacky or Happy, but it's going to be about how tacky I am. Okay, who would want to listen to that? So now, you know, I feel a little bit more confidence knowing that if you just take it totally out of context, anything that Weird Al is doing or anybody else is doing in this whole parody genre is just as stupid as whatever I'm doing. So, you know, I put this out there. I hope you enjoy it. If you don't, skip past it. But I'm branching out into some non-Tony Kornheiser-related parody music that is giving me a few good laughs and reflects my life. So this song, Pepperoni, is about basically every Thursday or Friday night I try to convince my wife we should order a pizza, and she always decides we should have some home cooking. So I almost always lose this battle unless she's really tired. So anyway, enjoy the Billy Joel musical tribute, a preview of next week's 31 and 31, and then Pepperoni.
Oh, woo.
of the show. We are waiting for a fax from mounds of email and haikus from hacks. We are waiting for our stickers to put in our cars, but the standards are high. A read as rare as Tony's paws. And even though I know the stickers are rare, I walk down to the road and I wait for the mail. I try to deal with the podcast delay, which would go away if the weasels could sell. My wife went to Sam's. A geezer asked if she's a fan. With a quizzical look, she just stared at the man. He pointed at the back where the sticker was stuck. Then she smiled and said, "It's my husband's truck in the parking lot at Sam's." Seems the powers that be have decided it's cheaper to put you on ice until Labor Day. What a shame, Tony. All your fans will still be here. This is in France with 6 week holidays. But they won't pay ya. They won't pay ya. You would work July and August, but they won't pay ya. Decided that in the summer no one would listen. They said go away, they won't pay ya. They sent him home this past July. They made a deal, so we said goodbye. They aired some best ofs and some other guy. I'd say I listened, but that's a lie. But when the show has gone away, I thank God for the podcast delay, because there's at least 10 shows still unreleased from May. I want a pizza, do you want to share one tonight? I'm hungry, do you have money? There's a number on the fridge, they'll deliver to our home tonight. Let's make a pan and add some buffalo wings. I might be lazy, I guess I maybe. Get on the couch and we can binge watch Netflix tonight. I had a real small lunch. I really didn't eat much. Maybe we should order two. We'll get one just for you. That way I know we'll have enough. I want some pepperoni, and no other topping will do. Please ask for pepperoni. Your half can have whatever you choose. Just give me peps and peps and peps and peps and peps and peps and pep. I just want pepperoni. I'll even share a slice with you. And don't forget Mountain Dew.
Ladies and gentlemen, the TK Jingles Mailbag by Joe Arrow.
Getting your song on the air today takes everything you got. Now Mr. Tony's on vacation, you just don't have a shot. Wouldn't you like to hear it play?
You know you gotta go where all the littles see your name. And no one cares if you sound lame. You wanna go where you will know your song is always on. Go make a new friend down at tkjingles.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joe, for that wonderful mailbag intro this week. So we've got a pretty short mailbag this week. I wanted to try to keep it short because that Gary interview ran on a little bit longer than I planned. But I'm really glad that it did because I think it turned out great. And again, thank you so much, Gary, for your time. Next week is my birthday and Michael Kornheiser's wedding, so there is not going to be a new episode of the TK Jingles podcast. I have already recorded, however, a fantastic best of show with all kinds of great recaps from the past year, plus some new bonus songs, fulfilling some of the promises from the past year. So, for instance, Day in Life Part 1 and Part 2, we're going to hear Part 3 next week. There's going to be some fun stuff, so stay tuned. It's pre-recorded, but it's going to be all the great songs that you either have heard or may have missed, and it's going to be about 40 to 45 minutes long, lots of good content, so stay tuned next week. And then after that, I'll be following up with an interview with Shad the week of August 11th, so stay tuned. Lots of great stuff coming up this summer. So first up, I wanted to read an iTunes review from E. Molly. And this is a long one. And this just goes to show you, folks, if you leave me a review on iTunes for this podcast or the Nigel's Rubbish Bin podcast or any of the apps that I have out there, I will read it on this show, unless it's just horrible. But even if it's horrible, I'll still probably read it because that would be funny. So the first note here is from Emali reviewing this iTunes podcast. Says, some guy named Jerry said he would read my any review. Oh, let me start that over. Some guy named Jerry said he would read any review posted here, so I thought I would write something, so this is me writing something, to something that says some things, that I like to listen to sometimes. And other times I like to listen to sports chicks, or hurricanes, and other times I like to listen to window commercials, or car commercials, or Bagel City commercials, but usually I just ride my bike wearing a white Aldridge Loving the Stone Since 2013 t-shirt. But this one time, some old guy in a Cadillac CTS tried to run me off the road, and I gave him the TK salute, but it was meant in the non-TK salute way. Where was I? Oh yeah, I hate sauerkraut. Emali, that was a ridiculously horrible review that said nothing about me or about this podcast or any of the other littles doing this. Thank you. That was great. Then we've got some Twitter feedback. This one is by... Mary Faye Randolph. She says, We Didn't Start came on in Walgreens, and I immediately began singing, Bill Lehecka, Mike and Burke, tell me how you get to work. Thank you, Mary. I love to hear that type of stuff. TK Jingles has ruined so many songs for me in a good way that that same thing happens to me all the time. So I'd love to hear that feedback from folks when there's songs they hear that make them think of a jingle or they start singing something stupid from about Tony. Then we have a negative feedback here from Rich Madke. He says that this was cute for a while. Now I just wonder if it's time to get a life. And, you know, I wonder that too. You know, this is a pretty silly hobby. I'm enjoying it. Those of you listening, hopefully you're enjoying it as well. I'm trying to keep it fresh and interesting. I've done 160 songs about the same topic. You know, and I think that, as I mentioned with Gary earlier, the well... is never out of ideas. There's always something to sing about. There's always something to continue. So hopefully Tony can enjoy it for a while. Until he's sick of it, I'm going to keep doing it. So if he comes back, we're going to keep get this going. And if you like it, you can listen to something else. But, you know, we've got some great stuff coming up. Then we have a couple of notes here on the podcast. And first one is by Jay Dulker. He says, I've listened to every episode twice. It's very good. So, Jay, thank you. It sounds like you're in some serious TK withdrawal. I'll try to keep these episodes long for the summer so that I can help you sustain that for a little while longer. And then the very last one here, because we really got to go here. We're running long on time. Bill Striojewski says, Caught up on the TK Jingles pods, laugh out loud at least once an episode, seriously. Grabbing the rubbish bin right now, thanks. And for all of you who have not listened to the rubbish bin, I've said it so many times, but I just need to reiterate it. I do a lot of this junk. Joe Arrow, KJ, Patrick, John, Brad Weiss, folks you've heard earlier, they've done a lot of this junk. But there are so many littles that are not on the show, that have only done one song, and it didn't make the air, not because it wasn't good, just because there wasn't time. If you have not listened to Nigel's Rubbish Bin, it's a great podcast. There's so many great unheard tunes, so many really weird, bizarre, crazy songs, or monologues, or whatever. I think this next episode coming up, there's one from a monologue from Henry the Fifth or whatever, a Shakespeare play. I mean, it's crazy. So please listen, enjoy. I love doing this podcast. I'm so glad that you're listening. I hope you continue to do so. Tell your friends. I'm sure they'll want to hear about a podcast that's a shadow of a podcast about some bald orange guy and his troubles. So, and it's all the stupid music about that. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. I've really enjoyed being here today. And next week, we're going to hear a fantastic best of. And then the week that follows, we're going to have an interview with Shad and some more great music. So stay tuned. There's a lot more left this summer until Tony comes back. Thanks for listening.
Do you think people like these as much as we do?
I assume that. I hope not.
You know, we like these a lot.
Yes, they must.
That was wonderful.